This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Today we welcome the Lucky Valentines.
Sunday morning, I'm drinking my coffee, thinking about all the ways I've been wrong. Nothing shameful in saying I'm sorry. Sometimes when I'm weakest, it's when I am strong. La-di-da, 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 la-di-da.
This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. I'm very pleased to welcome by phone Jamie and Sean Carrier, the Lucky Valentines. How are you guys doing?
We're real good, John. How are you doing?
Doing great. And I should tell listeners that in theory, anyway, by the time this reaches your ears, it may not sound like we're talking by phone, but we are indeed talking by phone and doing a little recording magic here to make this interview work. I'll start off by saying theluckyvalentines.com is the name of their website. Lion in the Garden is the name of their debut recording. Let's start here. I want to start with Fort Benton. Because what I like to do when I'm talking with folks here on Musician Spotlight is talk about, you know, a sense of place and where people are from. And as we are recording this in early April of 2018, one of the most recent interviews I did was with Katie Tunstall, who is from Edinburgh, Scotland. And so we talked about that. And of course, Edinburgh, Scotland is, you know, a little more exotic to those of us from the States. But then again, Fort Benton might be a little bit exotic to a lot of people who are listening. So let's just talk about Fort Benton and your connection to it.
All right. Well, Fort Benton is one of the oldest towns in Montana, and it was originally the last stop for the steamboat, like as far upriver as the steamboats could come. So we actually are the beginning of what is called the Whoop Up Trail. So goods, especially things like whiskey, were carted from here all the way up to Edmonton, Alberta. So it's a very historical town, and it's still really small, and it's right on the river. It's really beautiful and, you know, pretty sleepy in the wintertime, but it's definitely a summertime hub for anyone who's interested in river activities and or Lewis and Clark, because they did come here back in 1805, I believe. But the population is only 1,800. But the old fort that was a trading post long ago is still standing, and they've actually done some renovations on it. So you can still kind of get a feel for what it was like back in the trading days too.
And when we say the river, for our listeners' sake, we're talking about the Missouri River, correct?
Yes, I'm sorry. The Great Missouri River.
And for those folks who are not familiar with Montana, Fort Benton is out there kind of on the prairie a little bit. You're not necessarily surrounded by mountains in the same way that people sometimes think of Montana.
Yes, that's true. We're in north central. We're just on the cusp of the High Line, which is true prairie.
What would you say is Fort Benton about your music?
That's a good question.
You know, I think that we both have at least for some of the songs that we've written recently, drawn a lot of inspiration from just kind of the tone of the history of the town, which is there's sort of the typical glory of the Old West thing that gets kind of that drum gets beaten a lot, but there's also a lot of weight and a lot of hard kind of stuff that happened, you know, some sadness, and there's kind of a bleak feeling some of the time, and I feel like there's a couple of songs that we've written together that kind of explore that a little bit. I don't know, we sent some tracks off to some guys one time out in Seattle, some music guys out there, and one of them described it as
pastoral.
And
we said, what? We're like, what were we going for?
I had to Google it because I didn't know what it meant. Anyway.
Ultimately, I don't think that's what we were going for.
No.
But when that was pointed out, I think that's kind of what is Fort Benton about us, is just that it comes out even when we're not trying.
Mm-hmm.
And but specifically, actually, the very first track off of Lion in the Garden is called Little Bird. Like, a lot of our songs aren't necessarily literal, but that one was... We were sitting in our house, which is just a couple of blocks away from the old fort. And suddenly I was just really overcome with this kind of feeling of who else might have sat right where I was. And specifically the women who came through here, because it was a trading post. So there was a lot of money and goods exchanging hands. But it was also a place where a lot of different tribes came to trade. And, you know, historically, a lot of times what women have to trade is just themselves. And so that song was, just kind of thinking about who might have been, you know, a stone's throw from that fort back in the 1800s and what she might have gone through. This is still kind of a wild town in some ways. And being a young woman here is not always easy because... You know, everyone's looking for love, and we have, for a town of 1,800 people, we've got 7 bars, and so that's a lot of times where people will go to try and find what they're looking for, and a lot of times as a woman, what ends up getting traded is her sense of self-worth and dignity. So that song, Little Bird, is just kind of a tribute to the women of old, and also, I don't know, kind of a shout-out to the women who are here now, and a reminder that just that it's never too late to feel good again, to be right again.
She's got feathers in her raven hair, lips of ruby red, softest skin, smooth and bare under her beaded dress. Whiskey flows tonight, she'll give her body to a man who will never learn her name. Little bird, come back to me. I want to teach you how to fly. I want to dry the tears from. Dry, warm and kind beneath her head. If she holds on tight and closes her eyes, she can get through this. But over his shoulder,
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight, and I'm speaking today with Jamie and Sean Carrier, the Lucky Valentines. And speaking of Lucky Valentines, I couldn't help noticing in your bio that the two of you, you'd met long before this, but then you got married on Valentine's Day. So we're letting that out of the that cat out of the bag.
Yep.
That you are a married couple.
Cheesy. Yeah.
We are. One would assume that that is where the name of the group comes from, but is there more of a story behind that than on the surface?
Well, it's funny that you said we met long before that, because the truth is we met and were engaged and married within a year.
Yeah.
And yeah, Valentine's Day wasn't necessarily our initial choice, because I've always not liked Valentine's Day. I think it's kind of cheesy and the hearts and the glitter and, you know, I've never liked it, but circumstances changed for us. We found out we were expecting a baby, and so we ended up getting married earlier than expected, and that was the day that worked out on our family's calendar. It was a Sunday that year, which was 2010. We got married, and we were already making music together a lot, but we weren't necessarily a band yet. And so within a year and a half, maybe two, we were playing more gigs and, yeah, trying to come up with a name, and we had come up with a name that just didn't really feel right to both of us. And I said, what if we were the Lucky Valentines? Even though it's kind of cheesy, like it's sort of easy to remember. And it does now have this, you know, deeper meaning for us. It's another way that we can make sure we don't forget our anniversary if our band is also named after it. So it mostly is because you're married on that day.
We get hired for Valentine's Day now because of the name. So you work your anniversary.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought of that. That's great.
I'm not complaining. No, I'm happy fun. To play, you know.
It also means we always get a date on our anniversary, because we do have four kids, and so a lot of times our dates are actually playing music.
Did you say you have four children?
We do. We have four.
Wow, that is amazing.
Yeah.
And well, not the fact that you have four children, but just the fact that you are able to, you know, maintain a family and be as involved in music as you are.
Yeah, it's been amazing. Our moms are both totally on board with us and have just been, I mean, they were supportive of us well before we ever met. And they actually were both there the night that we met. We were both playing at a fundraiser, and we each brought our mother, because they were, you know, they've just always been our biggest fans.
And just our only friends.
Yeah. and actually when we met, He played first, and I was goo goo eyed, and I said to my mom, "I want that one." And then I got up to play, and I could just feel his presence in the room, and I was feeling all weird. And but then
I was there with a friend and with my mom, and this friend of mine leans over to me and she says, "You're going to marry that girl, and I'm gonna come to your wedding."
Yep.
And so I went over and talked to her, and immediately made a terrible impression because I was too nice, maybe too goofy, too nice.
We're nerds.
I'm just a big dork, is what it is.
Yeah.
But it worked out in the end.
It didn't take long either. I liked him.
No. Something worked.
It just
worked.
Took me a minute.
I heard a song upon the wind. I saw a star and watched it burn in. Seemed to touch a place within. It was always filled with yearning, saying, "Hold me, I wanna know what love means. So hold." Let me see. I've wandered, I have roamed. I've begged and I have borrowed. Even cast a couple stones, trying to cover up my sorrows, but it's lonely. Nobody can see. Oh.
Let's talk about the music. How did the music come together? Was that something, it sounds like you met first and then you were both playing music on your own, or how did this whole thing come together as a band, as a group?
She was a musician and I was a musician, and we had a common friend who had put together kind of a talent show thing as a fundraiser. And he invited both of us, and that's how we wound up meeting. I watched her play, she saw me play, and we met up a couple times between here and there, and eventually it was just sort of like, it just seemed really natural that when we started to spend time together shortly thereafter, that we would try playing music together. And when I sat down with her for the first time and she started singing, she started playing this music and singing, it kind of blew my mind, just this voice and this guitar, and that just the way she put them together. It wasn't just somebody that I was jamming with. There was something real. There was some real weight to it, and it moved me, and I wanted to be a part of it, and I felt like maybe we could share it and make something good.
Yeah, and for my part, like we did have very different backgrounds growing up, and Sean is. His strength was guitar playing, and he's a phenomenal guitar player, which I taught myself guitar and have been playing, I've been playing since I was 13, but I was more focused on my singing. What I am drawn to is the melody and the lyrics of a song. So playing together, it was really cool to just be challenged as a guitar player by his guitar playing. Like he said, it was weighty and it was kind of magical in a way that I had never experienced before with another musician, at least not in my adult life. And so, yeah, it definitely, it has been part of our relationship and probably influences our music more than we know. But also, it's been really cool to just learn from each other and become different and better than we were alone.
Idle hands, twisted thoughts. We'd made vows, but we forgot. Chasing fantasies got us lost. We said it was okay, but we knew it was not. Started out as a foolish game, pretending there was no such thing as shame. God's been watching us, will he forgive? And is it worth trying to start over again? I wanna know, can we make amends? I followed you to the end of a broken road. I let him in, I thought I could let you.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight, and I'm speaking today with Jamie and Sean Carrier, the Lucky Valentines. The question I have to wrap up our interview is where you all see this going. And I was going to ask that question before I called you all to start the interview process. Knowing that you have such a big family, it makes it that much more of an interesting question.
We would love to get in our giant RV that we bought last year and take it everywhere. We literally bought a huge RV because our dream is definitely, I mean, we would be just ecstatic if all four of our kids wanted to be in a family band with us and if we could just keep making music until we keel over dead. Yeah, we've had this discussion a lot. If we could kind of get, not fame, you know, like we wouldn't want to be a People magazine couple, but to just have people know of us would be awesome. Ultimately, when people are spoken to by our music and they come to us and they say, "That really moved me. Thank you." Like, that's just the biggest compliment. I mean, one gig that we played, this little girl with her mom, she's about 6 years old, and she was singing along with every song. And that, you know, I mean, that just puts stars in our eyes. So, yeah, we'd love to go as far as we can with it.
Well, I think if you ever do end up in People magazine, the chances that you would be the first folks from Fort Benton, Montana are pretty high.
Hey, yeah. That's a good point. Maybe we should go for that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think that could be quite awesome. TheLuckyValentines.com is the name of the website. No tricks there, just like it sounds. TheLuckyValentines, plural.com. And Lion in the Garden is the name of their debut recording. Thank you so much, Jamie and Sean Carrier. It's been great talking shop with you via phone, via the magic of modern recording technology, and giving us a little taste of what's going on for you and of Fort Benton, Montana.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us, John. This is a real honor.
I appreciate it, John. Thank you so much.
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today has been the Lucky Valentines. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org, as well as through our own website, musicianspotlight.org. You can also find us on Facebook as well as Twitter. Our program is available as a downloadable podcast from those websites as well as through iTunes. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.